discovering stories of people living out their beliefs in our culture, communities, and the public square, and finding courage, determination, and hope. Welcome to Faith Radio's On the Road. Now, here's Ryan Thomas.
The world of hip-hop music has been playing a massive role in shaping the culture of American young people, and not so young people anymore, now for decades. It's a world whose creativity and freshness has shaped trends and impacted other whole genres of music. But it's not commonly known as a realm shining a particularly positive light when it comes to morality. Yet, there are people of great faith in the industry who are working to change that with their music and the way they live. And we meet one of those individuals today in our trek on the road. At 27, Trip Lee is a hip-hop artist with top 10 Billboard chart hits to his name. He's toured the world performing his music and gained a huge following. He's also a poet and the author of a new book released this year called Rise. But at his core, Trip is a man of great faith, a pastor, a dad to two kids, and the husband to his wife, Jessica. In a refreshing conversation, Trip reflects on what drives him, the unique challenges of his career, and how he came to faith. He also shares his earnest belief that the church has what it takes to be a primary healing force in a time of continued tensions over race. Now, as a young Texan growing up in Dallas, Trip dreamed of becoming either a musician or a professional athlete. He explains why he went for the former and not the latter as we open our conversation with Trip Lee on the road.
Well, some things are just out of your control, aren't they? You know, in order to be a professional athlete, that has to be enough athlete skill, you know. But, you know, sincerely, I loved sports growing up, and I still do. But when I was in high school, that's when I really started to see that I think my music was really a gift. And so my attention, my extracurricular attention really started to push towards music. I loved doing it. And it was more than just a hobby like it was for my friends. And that's when I really started to find ways to record music and to try to get it into other people's hands and hopefully encourage them.
Well, and I understand that you were already rapping by the age of 12. Is that right?
Yeah, I was rapping, you know, just like when I was a kid and loved basketball and wanted to play basketball and loved baseball and wanted to play baseball. I loved music and wanted to do music and really started writing raps, you know, soon after I fell in love with the art form.
Understood. You came to faith in your teens, I believe. How did that come about?
Well, I grew up in Dallas, Texas, where really everybody is a professing Christian. And so from really young age, you know, I assumed I was a Christian just because I went to church with my family and repeated his prayer after children's pastor. But when I was a teenager, I started going to this youth group that my parents, the church my parents went to, and really went for social reasons. I thought the girls were cute, but God's grace is stronger than my bad motivations. And the youth pastor was faithful to preach the gospel, not just to play games with us, but to actually open the Bible and preach Jesus. And it was through that the Lord saved me. Stuff that I didn't understand before about who God was, who I was, what Christ had done, really started to click. And the Lord saved me. And right after, just gave me this really strong desire to understand His Word. I just really wanted to understand what was going on in God's Word. The Bible came alive to me. My life started to change. And I just wanted to dedicate my life to helping other people see that same God that I had begun to see.
And as part of that dedication, you made the conscious decision to also dedicate your music solely to God. So what was behind that decision, and how do you think that your decision to do that has really shaped your career as a musician?
Well, you know, it was really beginning to read Scripture and seeing that I was created by Jesus and for Jesus, and that everything was really about Him. Mm-hmm. My music that at that point had been just about me. I began to think, man, you know, I'm starting to try to reorganize my relationships to be around Jesus and my schoolwork and whatever other things are going on in my young teenage life. And my music, too, I'm like, man, this can't be off limits. If Jesus is really in control of everything. He made everything, and everything's for him. And that has to include my music, too. So I began to think about how I could use my music to honor Jesus and to encourage people and to help them see the stuff I'd seen. And I think it's really, you know, I think my music career is been very interesting because of that, because, you know, I'm not a traditional artist. I never assumed that I'd be able to be some big artist and travel the world or anything. I just wanted to do music to encourage people. You know, I think in many ways that's defined who I am as an artist. I've always just tried to make great music that I enjoy, that I think others would enjoy, and to say things that would encourage people. And it allowed me to really start my career with a kind of focus. I wasn't focused on being big because I never thought it could happen. And I think I've tried to maintain that focus even as the Lord has enlarged the platform, and really just tried to encourage people with the music and to make great music that glorifies God and that people enjoy.
That's fantastic. Trip Lee is with us. He's a man of great faith, as you can hear already, a hip-hop artist, a singer, a poet, a pastor, and author of a new book released early this year called Rise. And Trip, you're a thoughtful guy, and that really comes out in the book, and I've enjoyed reading what you've had to say. From your perspective, what is your hope for those who pick up this book and give it a read?
Yeah, my hope, you know, I've written the book aimed at college age. So I hope people younger than that read it and people older than that read it. And they have, and they've told me they've been encouraged by it. But aiming at college age, I wanted to help young readers think about the unique challenges of following Jesus while we're young. Because, you know, Jesus saved me when I was 14, and now I'm 27. And so that means that through high school and college years, and now as a young adult with a wife and kids, you know, I've had to think the unique challenges of following Jesus while I'm young. Mm-hmm. I've had to navigate those different seasons. And so I wanted the readers to be helped in navigating following Jesus while we're young. So I try to hit on topics that I think are relevant to young people and try to take them deep in an engaging and conversational way.
And that is countercultural. You talk a lot about society's expectations for young people. And a central moment in your story is this conversation that you had with an adult gentleman where you expressed to him why you're so passionate about using your time intentionally, and his reply was to essentially say that you needed to relax, not take life so seriously, and basically just have fun in your younger years. So how did you react to that conversation, and how did that moment kind of shape the message of your book?
Well, when it happened, you know, I was a pretty new Christian, and I really didn't know what to say, but I didn't know the Bible real well. You know, I just knew that couldn't be right. I knew there was no way that Jesus saved me for me to just, you know, treat my sin like growing pains and just not really think about it till I got older. There's no, like, junior disciple where you're not actually following Jesus yet, you know? And so, you know, as I began to grow, it became clearer and clearer what was wrong with that, that God made all of us to glorify him from the moment we're born. And it doesn't make any sense to say, I'm going to wait to do the very thing I was made to do until I'm older. Why would I waste these years to do some of what God made me to do? And why would I waste my years where I have the most energy and most freedom and most zeal to be able to do those things? And so it shaped the message of the book, because I think that's what culture thinks. While we're young, we don't expect anything from you. You're not going to do great things. Youth is not the time to follow God. Wait till you're old and all of your energy's gone and you don't have fun anymore. I want to say, you know, God created us right now for his glory. And let's use our youngest years with our most strength and energy for him and think about how to navigate that difficult road.
Wow, that is well said. Some truth bombs being thrown here by Trip Lee, a man of great faith, a hip-hop artist, singer, poet, a pastor, and the author of his newest book released early this year. That's called Rise. Trip, do you think that the church joins our society in a sense in setting those low expectations for our young people?
I think the church sometimes does, because we buy into it. And I think it happens in different ways. Sometimes it happens when churches treat their youth ministries or college ministries or young adult ministries almost like little Christian ghettos where you hang out until you're ready for the big real stuff. And I would instead love to see our churches engage young people who've trusted Jesus as very real believers. And so, you know, sometimes I'll see youth groups where the only thing that they ever really do is play games and eat pizza. And I want to say, No, I'm all for games and pizza. I'd love to do that every day, too. But how about in addition to that, you know, we also open God's word and dive really deep into it and really help them think carefully. And I think one of the fruit of that is it's a lot of times the faith that young people receive is so shallow and uninformed while they're in high school that when they get to college and they're exposed to the real pressures of the world, that shallow faith can't stand. You know, we need a firm faith. We need a deep faith because there's so many things pushing at us from every direction. And so I think the church has bought into it at times. And I'm hoping that this book will encourage youth leaders and college leaders and parents and young people themselves to really push against that and embrace what I think is a more biblical vision of young people.
Well, that's fascinating. And you speak to it there in that answer, but let me just follow up and ask this too. What are the stakes, do you think, when it comes to this issue of expectations for young people? Why should we care so much? And perhaps too, where do you see this making an impact on our country's young people and perhaps society as a whole?
Well, I think the stakes are very high because when everybody's expectations for you are so low, especially in those formative years, your expectations for yourself are going to be low. You know,
when
no one expects anything more from you than just having fun, then that's the only standard you're going to shoot for. And what I would love is if parents and leaders and college ministers and peers would instead say, hey, even though we're young right now, that may mean that there are different expectations, but not low expectations. God doesn't have such low expectations of us that we're not anything yet. And so, you know, I think helping young people to grasp those expectations that God actually has for them are helpful, not in a way that smashes fun, not in a way that smashes individuality or youth, but just to say, hey, use that youth and zeal and strength and use it for God's glory. And I think there's, I know one of the things that was helpful for me as I was following Jesus while I was young is there were folks who were willing to treat me as a very real believer in Jesus and give me the kind of attention I needed to actually grow. And I'd love to encourage parents and leaders and peers to do that.
Well, Tripp, you do have a unique perspective and a unique opportunity to speak into young people's lives. And so I wanted to make sure to ask you this question as well. We've seen the headlines now for much of the past year, from Ferguson, Missouri to Baltimore, Maryland, stories of real community strife that really tug at our racial fault lines. And you speak to this issue in your book. As a young African-American who many look up to and a man of strong faith, do you have hope, Tripp, that we can heal both as a nation and as a church?
I do have hope. First, I'll speak about hope for the church. The reason I have hope for the church is because the unity that we desire, even across racial lines, has already been accomplished by Jesus. So when we see, for instance, Ephesians talk about unity, it's talking about a unity that Jesus already took care of. He already removed the dividing line between Jew and Gentile and between any different races. And that unity is already there. What we're fighting for is to live out that unity. You know, we're already unified in Jesus as a church. We trusted in the same Lord. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. The same Holy Spirit dwells in each of us. We read the exact same Bible. I mean, to have the same God, the Spirit, living in each of us, that is an amazing unity that goes even beyond racial unity or family unity or city unity. There's a deep unity available for us, and we're spending eternity together in heaven. So I have great hope for the church because the greatest blow ever dealt for unity is what Jesus did on the cross. And then for us as a nation, to think about all of our culture, I have hope there, too. It's just a more difficult kind of thing to fight for because we don't have that same kind of unity with everybody in the world. But I think one of the great things is that as a church, we get to fight for that as people who know what true unity looks like and what Jesus is aiming for. Even if you, and even as we think about young people, if you think about the civil rights movement, so much of it, young people, college students were at the forefront of it. Even if you just watch Selma and you think about some of the marches, so many of them were young people and college students. And I think as young people, we can use our unique zeal and strength to fight even for justice issues. And I think all of us in the church of Jesus, this should be an issue that means something to us because it's a very real burden that even if it doesn't affect you personally, it affects other people. And if we don't know each other's burdens, we can't bear one another's burdens. and we can't obey what Jesus says in Scripture about truly loving one another.
That's fascinating stuff. That's a refreshing look at a tough issue. Thank you for that, Trip. Trip Lee, a man of great faith, a hip-hop artist, a singer, a poet, a pastor, author of a new book released early this year called Rise, also the name of his album released last fall. And we're going on the road with Trip today from Atlanta, Georgia. And Trip, as we draw the parallel from that good word that you just spoke to the message that's at the heart of your book, do you feel that certain cultures and certain races are impacted by our society's lies to youth, which we've been addressing, perhaps more so than others?
I think every race and every culture is impacted by the culture's lies. I think it just shows up in very different ways. So I think sometimes we can buy into the lie that inner city neighborhoods or urban cultures, sometimes people will look at them and say, hey, it's more sinful. There's a higher crime rate. There's less fathers in the home. That's more sinful in that culture. But I think what's actually happening is that everyone's equally sinful, but there are different pressures, different circumstances, and different ways that sin shows up. So I had a conversation recently with somebody was saying, hey, I think the real solution is just education. If you just educate everybody well, then these inner city neighborhoods wouldn't be that bad anymore. The main problem is education. And what I wanted to remind him of is that there are very educated people who've done some of the worst evil in our world. The issue is not that uneducated people are more evil. It's just that evil shows up in different kinds of ways. And so that's why, for me, I'm always wanting to preach the gospel of Jesus. There are great things like education. There are great things that we want to fight for. Of course, the restructuring of the family and schools and jobs and all those. Those are all really good things. But at the end of the day, our main problem is sin. And the main solution to that problem is what Christ has already done on the cross. And I think if we keep that in mind, even as we think about ministering to other kind of cultures, that'll be a good thing for us to remember that if you have the gospel of Jesus, you're equipped to minister to and to serve anybody from any culture.
Well said, sir. Well, you speak to something very practical for people of our age group in Rise, and that's time management and what you, I think, rightly describe as investing our time well. Can you speak a bit to why you view our time as a gift and perhaps also why you think that young people aren't being taught that as much as they were maybe in the past?
Yeah, I mean, one of the main things that drove me to write the chapter about time management is my own struggle with time management. This is something that I've had to think a lot about because so many times I've been convicted myself about the way that I use my time. And,
sure.
You know, I think we struggle with it so much because we do live under the assumption sometimes that our time belongs to us. But just like our bodies belong to God and our minds belong to God and our jobs belong to God and our money belongs to God, so does our time. You know, it's a gift from God. Scripture is clear that every good and perfect gift is coming down from above from the Father of lights, and that includes our time. And so time is a gift from God, almost like he's, in the book I compare it to money, almost like God has given me some money to invest. How can I invest it in a way that serves him best? You know, almost like he's an investor who's given me money and he wants a return on it. How can I use my time for eternal things? You know, how can I not invest all my time in the things that don't matter beyond the second it happens? And, you know, that's good for me as somebody who procrastinates a lot and can waste time. Those are good reminders I need. And the Lord has helped me to grow in that over the years. And, you know, my prayer is that chapter will help others to grow in it as well.
That's tremendous. Yeah, and it was a good word as someone who's just a touch older than you. It was a good word for a 29-year-old as well. So thanks much for that.
Yeah.
Trip Lee is with us here on the road. He's a man of great faith, as you can hear, a hip-hop artist, a singer, a poet, and a pastor. He's author of the new book released early this year called Rise. And you are at the tender age of 27, Trip, and I wonder, how do you maintain your integrity and live out your faith in the face of a hip-hop culture that, as you yourself talk about, so often celebrates power, money, and sex?
Yeah. Well, you know, it is very interesting being a rapper, especially the things that hip-hop is known for today. But I think that allows me to try to be even more of a light in the hip-hop community. And, you know, personally, you know, I don't have any magic tricks, a special 1, 2, 3. You know, I try to cling to the things that all Christians need to cling to. I've got to be more creative with it sometimes, you know. So I desperately need men in my life who are holding me accountable. And sometimes that can be harder when I'm on the road a lot. But I have to be intentional about it. I have to have guys who know where I am at all times. I'm never on the road by myself either. I always have guys with me, you know. So I depend on that. I depend on community. I depend on God's word. There's so many lies about myself and about other people that my heart is prone to believe every day. And if I don't read scripture, I'm going to believe those lies. I desperately need God's truth to fight those lies, you know, and I pray a lot. I need to plead with God to help me. You know, that's one of the main ways we show our dependence on God. If I think I can handle it myself, then I'll just go about it. But if I recognize I need God's help, then I'm going to ask him for it. And so those, you know, I just have to be more creative sometimes with making sure I get in the word when I'm on the road and making sure I have time to pray. When there's inconsistency with my church community because I'm in and out, you know, I just have to be more creative and more intentional than your average person. But I'm dependent on the same thing that all of us need.
Absolutely. And I noticed that phrase intentional keeps popping up in so many different areas of our conversation. I'm curious. I wanted to ask you about this too, Trip. I've noticed that a number of faith-based musicians that we see across many genres of music in the past have hesitated to self-describe as Christian artists. I think of Switchfoot being a prominent example of that. Do you like the term Christian rapper, and why or why not?
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the realities is people are going to call me whatever they're going to call me. You know, I don't have much control over how people categorize me or label me. You know, my favorite title is not Christian rapper, and not because I think it's wrong or because I want to, you know, distance myself from being a Christian. I obviously proudly call myself a Christian, a follower of Jesus, but I don't necessarily want people to think of what I do as its own genre. You know, hip hop is the genre of music I do, and I'm a Christian. It's clear. It's very clear in my music. I talk about Jesus a lot. But what I don't like is, you know, when people say, oh, that's Christian rap, because I want to do music for Christians and non-Christians. So, you know, what people often hear is, oh, that's rap for church people. So that's not for me. And I think that's not what I want to communicate. I want to communicate, no, it absolutely is for you. I've actually written it in a way where I hope that it can connect with all people from all backgrounds. So the only reason I'm a little hesitant with that is because I think it communicates something different than what I intend my music to be sometimes. But I understand that Christian outlets are going to call it Christian rap, and that's fine. And mainstream outlets, they also are going to call it Christian rap because there's so much, I talk about Christ so much, and that's perfectly fine with me. I just hope that people are able to understand that I make music for everybody. There is a lot of Jesus in it, and I believe that Jesus is for everybody, which is why I try to write it in such a way.
Well, Trip, we just have a few more moments with you. I mean, at the age of 27, as we brought up before, you've already accomplished many chart-topping songs. You've written a book. You are a pastor. What would you still like to accomplish as you move forward in your career, and what things are you really excited about doing?
Yeah, I'm excited to continue to write and do music. I have a ministry I've started called Brag, which is basically a resource ministry. And right now, you know, it's just focused on my teaching and my writing. And I want to continue to build that as a way for people, especially those who listen to my music, who don't necessarily connect with a lot of the content that's out there, either that's that isn't teaching solid biblical things, or that maybe it's just so different culturally that it's hard to connect with. I want to continue to write books and blog posts and sermons and all kind of stuff that connects with people where they are, the kind of people who listen to my music, and can continue to help them think through what it means to glorify God in everyday life.
All right, Trip Lee, the book is called Rise, A Man of Great Faith, as you've heard. It's just been tremendous to chat with you here, Trip, and once again, we thank you so much for taking the time for us. As we say farewell, would you just let people know if they want to learn more about your music, if they want to follow your journey across America and the world as you tour, what's the best place? Is it Facebook, Twitter, your website?
Yeah, well, one place is my website, and that's where you can see, you know, stuff about my music and my writing, sermons, all of that. That's builttobrag.com, B-U-I-L-T-T-O-B-R-A-G.com. And then I'm on Twitter, Trip Lee, @Trip Lee. Facebook, facebook.com/Trip Lee, and you can find me on social media that way.
Well, sir, once again, we really do thank you for your time. It's been a refreshing look inside what you do. Keep doing the great things you're doing, sir. It was a blessing to chat with you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for sharing in the story of this latest episode of Faith Radio's On the Road. For more on today's conversation and the full podcast archive of all our episodes, look for On the Road when you visit myfaithradio.com.